welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudli Wickham Ashby. And today in the studio with me is Brian Waith, a young man who has stage 5 kidney disease. And we'll have a good chat today where he will share his story and we can get to learn a bit more about kidney disease.
Say hello to your kidneys. The main role of these organs is to dispose of waste products and to turn them into urine. The body's 8 liters of blood pass through the kidneys between 20 and 25 times each day, meaning that together, these organs filter about 180 liters every 24 hours. The ingredients in your blood are constantly changing as you ingest food and drink, which explains why the kidneys need to be on permanent duty. Blood enters each kidney through arteries that branch and branch until they form tiny vessels that entwine with special internal modules called nephrons. In each kidney, 1 million of these nephrons form a powerful array of filters and sensors that carefully sift through the blood. This is where we see just how refined and accurate this internal sensing system is. To filter the blood, each nephron uses 2 powerful pieces of equipment, a blob-like structure called a glomerulus, and a long stringy straw-like tubule. The glomerulus works like a sieve, allowing only certain ingredients, such as vitamins and minerals, to pass into the tubule. Then, this vessel's job is to detect whether any of those ingredients are needed in the body. If so, they're reabsorbed in amounts that the body needs so they can circulate in the blood again. But the blood doesn't only carry useful ingredients. It contains waste products too, and the nephrons have to figure out what to do with them. The tubules sense compounds the body doesn't need, like urea, left over from the breakdown of proteins, and redirects them as urine, out of the kidneys and through 2 long sewers called ureters. These tubes empty their contents into the bladder to be discharged, ridding your body of that waste once and for all. There's water in that urine too. If the kidney detects too much of it in your blood, for instance, when you've chugged several glasses at once, it sends the extra liquid to the bladder to be removed. On the other hand, low water levels in the blood prompt the kidney to release some back into the bloodstream, meaning that less water makes it into the urine. This is why urine appears yellower when you're less hydrated. By controlling water, your kidneys stabilize the body's fluid levels. But this fine balancing act isn't the kidney's only skill. These organs have the power to activate vitamin D to secrete a hormone called renin that raises blood pressure, and another hormone called erythropoietin, which increases red blood cell production. Without the kidneys, our bodily fluids would spiral out of control. Every time we ate, our blood would receive another load of unsifted ingredients. Soon, the buildup of waste would overload our systems and we'd expire. So each kidney not only keeps things running smoothly, it also keeps us alive.
Welcome to Visions, Brian.
Hi, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so Brian, let's start at the beginning, and that's where we really should start. How did you learn that you have kidney disease?
Well, I would not say I learned, but I was born with a deformity, and the name of it is posterior urethral valves. It is like a growth that prevented the urine from passing through my penis. So I was born with that. At 3 months old, my right kidney was removed. My left kidney was also bad, but that was the best out of the two. So that was left in. So I was always in and out of hospital all the time.
Okay. Right. So you had your right kidney removed and your left kidney is damaged. How would you say this has affected your health?
Well, as you know, the kidney is very important. Basically, everybody knows that it's mainly for cleaning the body. Can't really call them impurities, but it's just that it can regulate certain things like potassium and salt and other stuff like that. So it really affects your health by your bones. As you know, I am 38 years old and I'm only 5 feet. That is also one of the, I call it kind of upside, but some people may call it downside. At first it was a downside, but I look at it as an upside. makes you look younger.
Okay.
Which I should say I do look younger. I hope. Although recently some people have been calling me dads, which is unsettling. But yeah, it also affects the bones, making them weaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why I take supplements. Been taking supplements on and off my whole life since I was on dialysis. Been taking supplements for the last 23 years.
Okay. And you mentioned dialysis, so tell us what or how you came to be on dialysis.
Well, when I was around 15 years old, I was at school and I kind of had a seizure, I blanked out, went to the hospital, and the doctor said I have to get dialysis. The dialysis that I got at that time was called peritoneal dialysis, which is one you can do at home. So the doctor saw that since I was still going to school at the time, it was better to do peritoneal where I would do it for 10 hours from 6 o'clock in the evening for 10 hours straight. So I would be able to make it at school for the following morning.
Mm. So did this affect your general attendance and involvement at school, having to do the dialysis 10 hours straight the night before?
Yes, of course. Even before the dialysis, I was always in and out of hospital. And then when I got on dialysis, I had issues with infection, mainly peritonitis, mm-hmm. which is a very, very bad infection. And I was always in and out of school. School was difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to law school, by the way. And although I would be in the hospital sometimes for 3 weeks, 6 weeks to get rid of the infection, and still come back, is like playing catch up. Because I had to catch up with studies and I could not catch up. That's why part of me to hate the academic part of school.
Mm-hmm.
But let me mention, to be clear, the teachers were very kind and supportive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know, because in some school environments, the support that is needed for individuals who may be encountering either disabilities or some type of temporary impairment is not as forthcoming as we would like. So I'm glad to know that the teaching staff and the other ancillary staff at the Lodge School was very supportive of your being there. Now, Brian, you're talking about hating the academic side of your school life, and that is understandable because of, you know, the illnesses and the dialysis and so on. But for you, as you reflect, how do you feel about the inconvenience of not attending school on a regular basis? And as we have read or have seen in other stories where a stronger support system was put in place for the student to continue their studies, even though they may be hospitalized or temporarily at home with an illness or a broken leg or whatever. Speak to us about it, and how do you think for young students now, what would you like to see happen for them?
Well, I started law school in 98, and I think it's better now, to be honest, because as technology becomes more ubiquitous, everybody has a cell phone, everybody has a laptop or something that they could easily continue their school studies. It would be good to got projects in place that you could continue school studies. But with me at that time, I didn't have a cell phone, didn't have a laptop that I could have bring to the hospital to do my schoolwork. So that was basically my downfall where school is concerned. Luckily, at 19 years old at that time, when my hip was broken due to calcium deficiency, my hip was broken at the time, and going to school on the hip and stuff was difficult. So at 19 years old, I just decided to quit Lodge. So I quit. But luckily, I was able to do private classes to gain some CSCs at A levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that determination to continue your academic studies is remarkable, because some other individuals would have given up and tossed it aside and said, it's a waste because I am on dialysis, or I have this disability or this impairment, where will all this lead? Speak to me about that, Brian, in terms of doing your academics and you're still unemployed.
Yes. from my opinion, I think it's about the support system. I have my mom, my auntie who raised me till I was 9 years old, and friends, other people around me, my cousin, all these people come together. It was a big support system for me. So basically, it is the support system that was the driving force behind me to continue my studies.
But as you think about it, you're now 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And talk to me about your efforts to secure employment.
Well, I have tried in my early to mid 20s, just going different places, just dropping off my resume and stuff like that. In my whole entire life, I have only worked 6 weeks at Six Rows because my mother had a friend that was able to get me a cashier's job, 6 weeks at Six Rows, which was a good experience. And it's very difficult, to be honest, when you have dialysis 3 days a week. Yesterday I had dialysis and I was not feeling too well. That is why I admire people on dialysis. The way how they can just leave after dialysis and go straight to work is amazing.
Why?
Because for me, sometimes I get off of dialysis and I feel like if I got enough energy to conquer the world, but that energy don't last too long. Because when I get home now, I just crash down and sleep.
Okay, so the body has to recover.
Yeah, for me. Everybody different.
Right. So, Brian, tell us about your dreams of working. Do you want to work?
Well, I would love to. I mean, I had a little thing, I would call it just a little business, bringing things from overseas and selling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried that for a little while and tried almost everything could do, actually. But I would love a steady job, something that I am able to do, mm-hmm. that I could be confident in, give me some more freedom.
Because one of the things that I often meditate on and ask persons to think about is, as a young person, how or what plans can you put in place should your parent or your caregiver passes before you? If they die before you, how will you cope? And for many individuals who are unemployed, some may be on benefits from the welfare department or the National Insurance Social Security Scheme, and others are not receiving any benefits. How then do they cope? How do they survive this world on their own after their parents or relatives have passed? And that's a worrying question.
It is not worrying, but scary. Like, it's something that I always think about. Like, without my mom, who is my biggest supporter, I would be financially lost. I wouldn't know what to do. Because even the little government check that I get wouldn't be enough to support myself. So, and when I have bills to pay, have to eat, it'd be on my mind. I try not to think about it, but it's something that you have to think about. And then I think about how I can bury my mother if, God forbid, worse happened, or even worse than that, if she was to become infirmed in some way, how would I take care of myself and her also?
Yeah. What do you think can be done? What would you say to the government if you had the opportunity to really speak of ways to provide greater support to individuals like yourself?
Well, if I had to be totally honest, I do not know, because this is a money issue. Yeah, so I could talk my face off to do this, I do that, but yeah, still, the question is, where would the money come from? So I don't really know how to answer that.
Okay, understood. And that's the truth. Sometimes we really don't have the immediate answers, but it is a question that we all need to reflect on as a society. How do we give support to families who have individuals with disabilities and need not only the financial support, but other levels of support? Because you pointed out how you admire individuals with kidney disease going on dialysis and then leaving to go to work. And the bigger question is transport. How do they move around after they've had dialysis, because sometimes, as you pointed out, it's very draining.
Yeah, some of them drive, some of them catch bus, but the scariest story I ever heard on dialysis, I heard this story secondhand, because we are prone to cramp. Because of potassium and salt, we're prone to cramp. So a dialysis patient was driving and his foot locked on the gas because of cramp. It's scary.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Brian, let's talk now about your, I just want to pop back to your school days.
Mm-hmm.
Because most children, not all, but most children tend to run around and play games with their friends and go out to social events. Did you have those opportunities?
Sure. Before dialysis, I used to ride my bicycle around my neighborhood and play and stuff. But at school, I never used to play games or anything. So never run or anything. So because I wasn't up to that kind of level.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was home, I used to have my usual boyhood days doing wickedness like anybody else.
Okay. Well, that is all part of growing up. You know, we do some mischievous things and get into trouble and get some lashes sometimes or other types of punishment. Well, what would you say your future or what type of future would you like to see for people who are on dialysis, people who have kidney disease in Barbados?
I would like to see us getting together, joining up in the BKA, which is the Barbados Kidney Association, led by our most kind, illustrious president, Alan Haynes, and trying to make our voices heard. They've got some minor stuff that I see that I would like implemented with dialysis, you know.
What are some of the minor things?
Minor things? Mm-hmm. Like, I personally think that dialysis patients should get certain tests done every year, like echoes, ECGs.
Why?
Because we have issues with our hearts. We get things like calcification because we are on calcium tablets to help boost our bone strength.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the calcium will lodge in our arteries, which could be a killer. So I think we should get things like echoes, ECGs done. You know, all these tests are expensive to do it privately. I mean, I had to look for $550 2 years ago to get an echo done because I was suffering from hypotension, which is low blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get echo done and that test was $550. And when you go through the hospital, when you get an appointment for echo, sometimes it's another year you gotta wait, and in that time you could drop down. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think those are two very valid and important points in terms of the follow-up for people with kidney disease. And in terms of doing the dialysis from home, what would you say are some of the benefits and some of the disadvantages?
The only benefit I could see is that you can drink more because on the dialysis that I am currently doing, hemodialysis, you cannot drink as much as you would like. You have to be very careful because our tissue retains the liquid. Right now, I cannot pass water. Stop passing water roughly around my 5th or 6th year of dialysis. So we can't get rid of the liquid as we should. The machine's supposed to do it. But in between those days, you gain weight. So that's one of the benefits is you could drink as much as you like. But that's the only benefit I could see, in my opinion.
Okay. And what would you say are some of the disadvantages?
Disadvantages is since you're doing that at home, you have to take care of the wound site where the catheter goes through to the peritoneal cavity gland. So you have to take care of that wound site yourself, clean it and everything. So because at that time, I was a dumb kid. Didn't really know that much about germ theory. That's why I had a lot of infections. And your surroundings have to be crystal clean. And you have to be cognizant of so much. Wearing gloves, washing your hands, all that kind of thing. And let's be honest, the average person ain't going to keep up with that so easy. Mm-hmm. Some people do it and I admire their struggle, but That was not for me.
Okay.
I hated it. Mm-hmm. I prefer the hemo, but the hemo has its own issues.
Right. Because you can also pick up infections with the hemo.
Yes. You can pick up infections. I have had a lot of infections with the hemo. But that is only because I have what is called a perm calf in my chest right now, which is just a catheter going through to the vein so the machine can access my blood.
And was it scary to get that done, inserted there?
I find it's good to live in a state of fear.
Why?
Why? Makes it easier in a way. Because right now we have to get this changed because not only does it have a crack, but it's coming out. So I soon have to get it changed.
Okay. No, Brian, I want to get real personal because most persons, especially young people, think of having a partner and pursue having a partner, a relationship. Have you been able to engage in personal relationships like that? And what are your thoughts?
You mean like love?
Mm-hmm.
No. Straight, no.
Mm-hmm. Are you scared to get involved because of all that you have to do relating to your dialysis and kidney disease?
I guess it's negativity because it's so much to deal with. You know, I don't think somebody out there would just, especially my looks are short, the way how it affect my body, I don't bother.
You're not making the effort to pursue a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And if a young girl pursues you?
I don't want to be too negative on the show, but I doubt that will happen.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're dealing with the reality. Yeah, and that's reality. Your thought.
It's a hard thing to deal with. It's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the thoughts that many of us go through because I remember as a teenager into a young adult, I too had my own scary thoughts of not securing a long-term relationship because of my own vision impairment. But we know that there are people out there who are willing to take that risk of getting involved with someone with kidney disease, blindness, whatever. So there's hope yet, Brian. Well, Brian, you have shared a lot about yourself and how you have coped from childhood with your kidney disease and, you know, just pursue an academic level for yourself as well as seeking employment and the challenges associated with that. I know that you're a part of the Barbados Kidney Association. Tell us a little about this organization. It pulls together persons who are living with kidney disease and others?
Yes. Most dialysis patients and people that want to help the organization are part of the organization. We are developing relationships with a group, Ghana's Kidney Association, for research. And we also do activities like church services. And just last month, we had the walk at Coverley.
Yes, which I attended
every year. Yes, that's good. And yes, you don't even have to walk to come to the walk. You can just come, have fun, sit down, relax, get to meet the people in the association. Our president, as I mentioned before, is Alan Haynes. Mm-hmm. He's a very friendly, lovable old man.
And works hard.
Yes, he works very hard, harder than most. And it's because of him that the Kidney Association is going leaps and bounds. And if it wasn't for him, I would never have joined.
Well, I know that the Kidney Association also do quite a lot of talks and presentations to really share the information about kidney transplant, how it is done, and they reference quite a lot to Dr. O'Shea, who does the actual transplants here in Barbados. So that's great news. We're making progress.
Yes. Making progress. Slowly but surely we're getting there. We're getting to the mountaintop. Yes.
Do you know of any other young persons involved with the association?
Young. You got to define young, but
you're young.
I look young, but I would consider myself young. But yeah, there are people who try to help, do as much as they can to help the association. And I must say that our president would love some help from those who are willing to help. You can search Barbados Kidney Association on Facebook or go to www.kidneycaribbean.com, or you can call the Council for the Disabled at 629-0573 or 629-0574, or call our secretary 234-8803. Come to either one of our, and we also have Sills Dialysis in Belleville. He's down there on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Yeah.
And I must also add about the Sills. They offer through Florlam.
Yeah.
Right. They offer free kidney checks.
Checks, yes.
So you can go and have your kidneys assessed and see if they are in good health or need some repair work so that you can prevent the development of kidney disease.
Yes, because early detection is the best prevention, as they say.
Correct. Well, Brian, it really has been good chatting with you, learning a bit more about kidney disease and how you have managed yourself with such a disease, such a condition, and some of your ideas of how more support can be provided to individuals living with kidney disease.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. And
thanks.
I also have to say salute to your mom for giving you that level of support, as well as your other family members and friends.
Oh, thank you very much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodalee Wickham Ashby, and my special guest today, Brian Waith from the Barbados Kidney Association. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300, and you can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, love yourself. Love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Ciao!